sing it one more time. Oh, I'm not. As I run this race to stay on the path, no matter what I face, Jesus Christ in my heart. Feel the change growing from the start. Who can bring a cleansing out of the unclean? None but Jesus Christ calling the sick. Lord, make me a new. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I am one thing, not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus for me to be. It's a two-horse race, the black and the white. Lord, I must keep pace. You win this race, the choice is yours. One you feed the most. He who began a good work in you is faithful to finish. His word is true in your heart. Lord, have your way. Changing my life now that Christ is in. A picture of him they can clearly see. More I want to die for Christ my strength, Christ my suffering. For you I live and I'll only serve. I'll give you me, Lord, you really deserve your ring. May I
that we breathe. We praise it.
is the end. Hallelujah. This is the end.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Father of life, seated on your throne of peace, it's only by your mercy we are saved. Lord, you have saved. If we call upon your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry out your name. I should so faithful, Father of love, never failing to forgive. Thank you, Lord. Each moment is a gift from you to me.
Everybody in the house of the Lord. There's no better place to be in His presence. That's where we are strong. In His presence, that's where we belong. So we really do appreciate another opportunity. Let's open James chapter 1. Let's read from verse 5 and continue what we started on Friday evening. Friday evening, we started looking at the field of battle. The previous Friday, we looked at demonology. I just had a look in that spiritual realm of demonology. And on Friday evening, we started looking at the field of battle. So I want to just continue on that today by the grace of God. James 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Amen. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Amen. A double-minded man is unstable Amen. In all of his ways. Amen. Let's also read Hebrews chapter 4. Amen. You know, so James is telling us a diagnosis there of a double-minded man. But in Hebrews chapter 4, Paul is going to help us to understand How do we overcome this double-mindedness? Hebrews 4, verse 12, very familiar scripture, real message scripture. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let's bow heads. Father, asking for your special blessing upon your word. Touch your people, touch each of us, put strength inside of us, body, soul, and spirit. Father, let your will be done upon this day. Let your word go forth. You said you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the message of the hour. We thank you, Lord, for light in the evening time. Father, we thank you for all the things that you've done for us. Bless your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. Now, we know in Greatest Battle Ever Fought how the prophet taught, we saw it on Friday, that the battlefield is the mind. We know that. You know that you are body, you are soul, and you are spirit. But the battlefield is in this realm of the spirit. It's the realm of the mind. And there's two different realms. If you start looking at yourself, you know, when you want to get a promise or you want to understand something concerning the things of God. Now, the first thing that's going to have to come in through your ears, through your eyes, you're going to have to read it, you're going to have to hear it. So it starts off in that realm. Then it's presented now to your mind, which is the womb of the spirit. So it comes to your mind. And so you have to receive it or reject it at that time. But let's say you read that promise. You see a promise for deliverance. You see a promise to meet the need which you have. And you accept it in that realm. Now, that's your first conscience. No, you're accepting it in the mind. It then has to go down from there, down from the realm of your conscious, down into the realm of the subconscious. Because that is the place where you really believe. The Bible says, as a man believes in his heart, yeah, that's really where it really, really is. So now you're going to take this seed of truth, this anointed truth, this word of deliverance, whatever it is, it's going to have to navigate down all the way through these different areas, getting deeper and deeper until it strikes the soul. And when something strikes the soul, then it's finished. You know, when you believe something from your soul, from your heart, you're going to receive it every single time. But this is now Satan knowing this is the field of battle. Now, this is really where he works, and he works in many different ways. He understands the makeup of people. He understands how truth, you know, the Lord has ordained it as such that truth, man came out of the garden because of a decision that he made to turn aside the word of God. So the only way you get back into the promises of God is a decision that you make to receive truth. And if that truth really gets down to your soul, and we know you either accept it or reject it, you accept the truth in that realm, that's when you find the full power of that truth. Amen. That's when that truth can really, really manifest itself. But Paul is telling us here that there's a dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. You know, so the word sometimes comes and discerns and shows us that, you know, this truth that you really think that you're believing, but you're not really believing it in the right place. You know, you're believing this truth in the realm of the spirit, but you're not believing it in the realm of the soul. And there's got to be a reason and a cause for that. You know, that's what we just like to have a look at. But the real power is in the subconscious. Now, that's the real engine room that the prophet says, where promises are manifest. That's where the steam is built up in the boiler. Now, that's how the ship moves, is when things are really working well down there in the subconscious. That's the realm where, you know, beyond your human understanding, beyond your human reasoning, there's that realm down below your conscience, and that's the real you. That's really where faith operates. You know, that's really where your desires are expressed. That's where the new birth operates. It's all in this realm, right down in the subconscious. Now, the prophet says in an uncertain sound. Brother Lubanza read this quote a couple of weeks back when he was here. But the prophet speaks, and it's such a good title for the message because it's the uncertain sound. You know, so no one can prepare themselves for battle if you don't have a certain sound. Now, so there's got to be certainty. If you really want to receive something from the Lord, you've got to have certainty. You've got to be certain of God. But sometimes there's an uncertain sound. And that's what the prophet's saying. And he's showing the realm now where this uncertainty sometimes comes in. And he says, on paragraph 64, put a lie detector on you. and try to impersonate that truth. Try to say it's truth. But down on the inside of you, in the subconscious, lays a place called the soul. And this intellectual mind does not govern the vibration of the system. So the prophet's saying you've got two different realms here. You know, you've got this realm where you can speak from. You can think, again, hey, there's Brother Jim. Let me tell him this because I think it'll please him. Yet I don't really believe that inside of myself. We're speaking about that on Friday. That you can never have unity with people. You can never have a harmony or one accord until what we're saying with our lips is the same as what's operating inside of the soul. So the words that are coming out have got to be on the same frequency as what's operating down in the subconscious, and then God will bless that. You get two people fellowshipping together and they fellowship. Fellowshipping in that realm. Now, the things they're fellowshipping with are coming from the heart. You know, there's nothing hidden. There's no double-mindedness in their fellowship. You know, you're not hiding something from somebody. You're not grieved with the person. And then but you're telling them, you know, God bless you, brother. Oh, it's so good to see you. You know, if you've had a lie detector put on you at that time, it would be picked up straight away. Because the vibration of what you're saying, what's happening in your conscience, the frequency you're operating in your conscience is different than the frequency in your subconscious. And that's why there's this uncertain sound now. This is where the uneasiness comes in. When you don't have the same vibration, the prophet says, the same frequency operating in your soul, in your subconscious, as is operating in your conscience. And you've got to get these things in harmony. And once these things line up and what you're saying and what you believe in your mind, you know, resonates deep down inside of the soul, something takes place. Because now you've got a channel, now you've got an avenue where God's blessing and His glory can flow because everything's working at the same frequency. You know, you've got an open channel now and God can drop now His blessing, His anointing, His truth right down into the engine room then, and then something's going to take place. But the prophet says that. He says, down on the inside of you, in the subconscious, lies a place called the soul. So your soul is down there in the realm of the subconscious. So truth has to go through your conscious, has to work through your subconscious, and your soul is down there. And then when it strikes the soul, that's when you're going to get the healing that you're looking for. That's when you're going to get the promise that you're looking for. That's when you know something will settle down inside of the soul, inside of the veil, and you'll say, I'm healed. Or whatever the promise is, that's when it's going to come. So the prophet says, the mind is only a director. It's very incapable of bringing you to God. Your mind. You cannot know God by your mind. Intellectual. It's one of the resources or the channels that would lead to it. Yes, sir. No, so God's given you them your mind. You know, and if you take the Word of God and you meditate on the Word of God, and you know, the atmosphere is right, and you have the right mental attitude towards that, you say, that's the truth. This is God's Word. You know, so coming down through your mind, that's a channel that will lead you to the promise if you allow it. But just the word in the mind doesn't bring the promise. It's insufficient. The mind is just a channel or a resource that he says. The prophet says, but it's your soul which governs you. So what governs whether you receive a promise or not, what governs how you live, how you overcome, how you react, it's not your mind, it's your soul. And that's what Brother Lavanda said that time. You are what you are by your soul. That's where the quote comes from. You are what you are by your soul. Then he says, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you hypocrites, because in your heart you hate me, and in your lips you calling me good master. The prophet says, see, your soul is thinking one thing, and you're speaking with your lips another thing. What a case. What a horrible thing. What a deceitful thing is a hypocrite. So that's hypocrisy. Amen. Hypocrisy is when you're saying one thing with your lips, but you don't believe it inside of your heart. Amen. Now, if you see me today, you might sit there and say, that guy's a hypocrite. Amen. Yeah, you might be thinking like that. And then we meet after church or we fellowship somewhere and we're greeting. Oh, yeah, we're smiling nice at each other. Friends, that's hypocrisy. Amen. That's deceit. Yeah. We can never expect the blessing of God on our fellowship. We can never expect the blessing of God in our midst, in the body of Christ, as we were saying on Friday, until these things get resolved. Now, until what we're saying to each other resonates with what we really believe about each other. So if there's these shadows and things inside of us where we don't, you know, we don't really believe each other, we don't trust each other and so forth, we've got to work through those things. Now, there's no shortcut to unity. Now, unity is something where you've got to, if I see Brother Max Jr. and I have an issue inside of myself because somebody told me that he said this, yeah? And I believe that. And I accept it. I make a decision in my conscience. It now goes down into my subconscious because I have made a decision to accept what that person has told me. My soul now towards him is operating on a certain frequency. There's now a shadow. There's now a something else operating inside of my soul. When I see him, I don't have a full liberty. You know, when he gets up maybe to lead songs on a Wednesday, I don't have a liberty inside of myself. I'll sit there in my soul. I may never express it, but I'll be thinking to say, but I wish it was Brother George leading songs. Or if it comes now to foot washing, you know, there's something inside of myself that I'm just wishing somebody else will wash his feet, that it doesn't summer work that I have to wash his feet. You see, but when I now speak to him, ah, God bless you, brother. It's so good to see you. God cannot bless that fellowship because you're double-minded. And a double-minded man gets nothing of the Lord. What's operating in your subconscious isn't the same as what's operating in your conscience. And there's only one way to sort it out. Scripture, you go and sit down with that person and you unveil what's in the subconscious. And you allow that person an opportunity to put their side as well. Because so many times you find that what people have said has been misrepresented, or it's been put in a spirit that it wasn't said in, or some spice has been added because that person had an agenda and a motive when they were speaking to you. So they're taking sometimes many times a truth, but it's not what that was really, really put across. And because they have an agenda, they mix certain things into what was said in that conversation, mixing it with their motive and agenda of what they want to achieve with what was said, and then it's presented to you. And you accept that as truth, and I accept it as truth. And that's how the devil works. Because the devil is an accuser. The devil works in that realm. The one thing the devil doesn't want is harmony. He doesn't want all of us operating at the same frequency. Because when there was one accord, one mind in the Bible, he had no place. Even the shadow of Peter healed the people. That's the power that's in the body if we can all start resonating in our souls at the same frequency. But friends, we've got to work at that. And the only way it can be done is each and every one of us take personal responsibility. I can't fix your problems, you can't fix mine. But if each and every one of us today would desire in ourselves, would resolve to say, I'm going to take responsibility myself for what's resonating inside of my subconscious. Yeah, and then you go and pray and you start seeing yourself that, you know, I'm not really, don't really have a liberty with Sister So-and-so. Now, I haven't been to visit Sister So-and-so for so long, ever since such and such and such was said, or such and such was done, or they looked at me in a certain way, or, you know, they didn't send a birthday card to my child, and they didn't invite me, like we said on Friday, to the birthday party. There's always a reason. And we take that, and there'll be some truth in it, and then the devil gets it. We saw what the prophet said on Friday, don't entertain those things. When the devil gives you a thought against somebody, it's not going to do any damage until you start to entertain it. But the moment you go and lie in your bed at night and you start thinking about it, say, but that's true. You see, that sister did this and that and that. That's why Sister So-and-so told me that 3 months ago about that sister. Yeah. And you start now building this great case book. You know, like in a court of law, you're building up a case. But you've never been to see the person. You've never gone to sit down with that person. To say, look, sister, would you mind if I sit down with you in the coolness of things? I long for fellowship the way that we used to have. But I misunderstood something, I think. When you said this, when this happened, forgive me, please. But that grieved me. And give that person either an opportunity to explain or to apologize. Because they may not have realized that they offended you. That might have been just the pressure of life. That person's rushing to do this, that, and the other. That they never, ever intentionally, in their conscious decision, meant to offend you like that. And the moment you sit down and you allow light to shine into that situation, you find you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And now your soul will start to operate on the right frequency once again towards that person. And now you can have Elizabeth and Mary kind of fellowship once again. where the blessing can come down because you're on the same frequency. Now, there's nothing operating down here below the scenes. And that's how the prophet says that vibration of the system. The vibration of your system isn't in your mind. It's what's coming from here. Amen. Listen to what he says. He says, see, your soul is thinking one thing. He says, now, in God's provided way of approach to fellowship, 1960, he says, you could catch it coming from the audience. I do many times. They think it's telepathy. He says, so everyone's sitting there. You're supposed to be a Christian sitting there, yeah? And you've gathered together in a place because you're wanting to see the kingdom of darkness defeated. There's people on stretchers, people in wheelchairs, sick people have come, people with demon oppression, demon possession, people coming on behalf of other people that are in the hospital. And those people are coming, many of them coming with a genuine motive, a genuine objective. They've got the right frequency operating inside of their soul. They believe the testimony of that man. They believe an angel came to that man. They believe he was commissioned that if you be sincere and get the people to believe you, nothing will stand before your prayers. But it's not everybody who comes on that frequency. And the prophet says, they think it's telepathy, and yet they'll say, praise the Lord. You see? Yet they don't really believe that in their hearts. Your inner conscience speaks louder than your mouth does. Your inner conscience speaks louder than your mouth because we have to be in heavenly places. All spiritual blessings are inherited in heavenly places. And in heavenly places don't recognize or respond to what you're saying here. They respond to what's happening in the inner conscience. What's happening down there? That's really what heaven is going to either respond to or is going to shut the heavens because of what's happening inside of there. The prophet says, it's your subconscious on the inside. What you really think, that's what the Holy Spirit catches and reveals. Amen. That's why it wouldn't matter. Somebody would come and in their mind, they'd have something. Yeah, they would stand in those prayer lines. But yet, the real reason they weren't being healed, they'd forgotten. They did something 40 years ago. Yeah? And they forgot about it. And when they would come down, the Logos would come down, the angel of the Lord would come down. The Word being a discerner of the thoughts and intents, dividing between the soul and the spirit. What would come out of the mouth of the prophet? Wouldn't be what was in the person's mind then. It was what's in the subconscious. Showing that the subconscious is the real you. That's what God is paying attention to. And he had looked down and the prophet would say, when you were 14 years old, you were an altar boy in church and you stole something and you never made it right. And the person will almost fall over and say, what? Is that what God has against me? I'd totally forgotten that. Amen. But that's why down in the subconscious, they had forgotten in their conscience, but the subconscious hadn't forgotten that. Amen. And that's why there was always an uneasiness. That's why that person would come and be prayed for so many times, and there could never be the same vibration in the intellect when they're claiming the promise as in the subconscious. And when those two don't work together, you're double-minded. And when you're double-minded, you never receive anything from God. You see, and when now the light would shine on that wrong in the subconscious, and the person would say, oh my, that's right, and confess, straight away the shadow, yeah? That something, uncertainty, which was making the truth uncertain sound inside of their soul, that was cleared up, and the healing would come immediately. Oh, friends, that's such an important thing to think about. Amen. Because in this age is all image. Yes. Amen. You know, Facebook, yeah, Instagram, selfies, all that. It's all the outward appearance. God is not worried about your outward appearance. Amen. God is worried about the subconscious. Amen. What is going on down there in the engine room? What are you down there? That's what God is either going to respond to or not respond to. That's the real you down there. Amen. And that's the battleground now. Amen. This is the field of battle now. Amen. This is where the real battle comes in if we wanted to inherit something from the kingdom of God. That's what the prophet says. That's what the Holy Spirit catches and reveals. He goes on to speak about legion, in the tombs. Legion in his conscious mind was insane. Amen. He was possessed. But in his subconscious, he was crying out. Amen. It was the cry from his soul. Yes. And the prophet says that cry from the soul of Legion pulled Jesus, yeah, Amen. Across a stormy sea. Amen. To bring him to come and deliver one man. Amen. Who in his conscience was totally gone. Amen. Showing who's the real you. Amen. The real you is the man that's inside. Amen. And friends, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. That cry from your subconscious. Every time inside of your subconscious you cry, you're seeking for something, yes. He will always respond. Amen. And if he sees in your subconscious something's not right, the conditions aren't ready for him to give you what you need to receive at that time, the truth comes and discerns now. Yes. And it'll come and show you why. That's what the healing lines are all about. That's what the gift of discernment was all about. To come and show people. The high priest had been touched by the feelings of the people. But there was something holding them back from receiving the promise. And that's a myriad of reasons that it can be. That when you find your subconscious is not vibrating at the right frequency. The frequency of the promise. You know, it's not operating at that frequency. There's a lot of reasons to cause that. We want to just look at a few of them. Because whenever there's an effect, there's got to be a cause. It's got to have come from somewhere. You know, there's got to be some reason why. When Brother Lubanza preached about the healing of the soul, the sickness in the soul. Now something's coming and there's some disease in the subconscious. There's some shadow, there's some darkness, there's something there. Which is hindering that realm from operating at the right frequency. Oh my. Listen to what the prophet says in Jairus and Divine Healing, 1954. Now this is where he gets onto his analogy. For instance, like a man goes overseas. I'll stop here just a minute. We're going overseas. So you wanting to make a journey. You're somewhere now, but you want to be somewhere else. Yeah? You're sick now, but you want to be somewhere else. No, you're oppressed now, you're depressed, whatever that it is. You're seeking a promise now, but you wanted to take a journey. You wanted to leave this harbor. You wanted to take a trip and go to another place. Maybe the prophet, yeah, or he's speaking about a man wants to get on a ship. Maybe he's a missionary. He's been called to go across the sea. So he gets onto the ship. He says, we're going overseas and we get in the ship. Now, the man that rarely runs the ship goes down into the bowels of the ship, the engineer. Amen. That's your subconscious.
Yes, sir.
That's the man that really runs the ship. Amen. That's the one who's causing your life to go in the direction it is at the moment.
Amen. Amen.
It's not what you think in Amen. Your mind.
Amen.
No matter what you reason out, yes, no matter how yes. intellectual you are, no matter how much theology we learn, each of those has its place, I'm sure. But the real man is in the bowels of the ship.
Amen.
He goes, he's the engineer. We know these things. But listen how he says it. He takes orders from the man upstairs. But what if he gives orders? 2 knots to the left. And the man down in here turns 2 knots to the right. Straight ahead. The man down here goes backwards. See, they've got to get in harmony. You've got to be or the ship will never move. And that's why you pray and you seek the Lord. And you're desiring certain things, but it never moves. You're sincere. There's some reason down there with the man in the engine room. The man in the engine room's not happy about something. The man in the engine room hasn't had enough food or something. He's not strong enough. The man in the engine room doesn't really know the clear orders of what he's supposed to be doing. That's where the problem comes in. It's the man down there in the engine room.
Amen.
That's the man we've got to get right.
Yes.
It doesn't matter about the man up here. Now the man up here is going to be looking at the storms. Oh, there's clouds on the horizon. Maybe we better go this way. Oh, no, I can see a big wave over there. Maybe we better go. He'll be changing his mind all the time. But that man down in the engine room doesn't worry about that. Amen. When he gets his orders, 45 degrees north, northwest, full steam ahead. Amen. That's what he operates on. There may be a storm brewing up there. There may be, you know, an iceberg the other side. He doesn't mind about that. He's just going to be putting that coal. Amen. He's just going to be operating that great machinery to get that steam pressure built up, to turn those great turbines so that the ship goes where it's supposed to go. Amen. But there's got to be a harmony between these two. That's what the prophet says. Well, the ship will never move. It says, now, many people has hope and calls it faith. You see, many people have hope. When God says a certain thing, and you say the same thing, and down here it says the same thing, something's going to happen. When it all gets together, then the ship will move. The load will move. But you've got to be perfectly in harmony with the will and the word of God. Amen. And that's how we need the word to discern us. Because many times you're not too sure to say, but hey, why is it whenever I'm prayed for, there's a fear? Why is it whenever I'm prayed for, there's an uncertainty inside of myself? Why is it there's something down inside of there that's an uncertain sound? He says that. Your subconscious, your first conscience with the Spirit of God, all that moving together, everything just clears the way and you move out. You've got to do that.
Amen.
That's what he's telling us here. Now, he starts now to speak about in the group once again. He continues on the next paragraph. He says, sometimes people, they'll sit and look and watch. He says, of course, an audience this side, maybe 2,000 people, no matter how much we think everybody is 100%, yet there's got to be some that isn't.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And they look this way. And some will wonder in their heart. Just subconsciously wonder.
Amen.
He says, well, that's what I pick up.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He says, that's what I pick up. And you think, well, I wonder what's happening. How does that man do that? What happened there? Just as you do that, it just comes in like this. Brother Bram blows into the microphone.
Yeah, man.
Against me like that.
Amen.
You know, so now you've got two different frequencies. You've got some people operating on the frequency they believe. They believe that's the church of God. They believe this is where God wants to deliver me. They believe that God is the one. Yeah? This is God's will for me to be here. But not everybody there has that same frequency.
Amen.
And those other people that don't have that frequency, maybe they're there looking and saying, I was going to say something, but I shouldn't.
Hallelujah.
You've got to be careful what you say up here.
Amen.
But people will be thinking lots of different thoughts. And the prophet would pick it up there from the subconscious realm. It was an opposition against him. It was something that he had to fight against. Not easy. He says, just subconsciously, he says, well, you might say, Brother Branham, that's psychology. If it was, Jesus used it. When he went into the house for Jairus' daughter, they were all weeping and carrying on. He put every one of them out of the house. Isn't that right? Why? Because they were operating at a frequency. Most of them didn't believe. Most of them were saying, this is that false prophet. Most of them say, oh, we heard from the priest. This is Beelzebub. You had to get all of that frequency out. And just go with Peter, James, and John. And the parents, whoever that it was. Yeah, people operating on the same frequency.
Amen.
That in their subconscious, they were operating on the same frequency as him. And when now they got together in that room, the engine, there was so much pressure and power in the engine room that there was the power of the resurrection.
Amen.
To bring forth that little girl from the dead. The prophet says a bunch of people was in a discussion one day. They were arguing. And Jesus took a man, led him out of the city to himself to get away from it. Peter, when he went to raise Dorcas, he knelt down in the room and prayed. And he put all the widows out that were carrying on like.
Amen.
And he got heard to himself. Why? Because there's a certain frequency.
Amen.
When there's an uncertain sound, friends, we can never get the full blessing. In your own individual body, and like we said on Friday, that the body of Christ, yeah, your body is but a shadow, a type of the body of Christ. Paul uses it all the time. So if the same problem operates in your body, yeah, that what you're thinking and saying is different to what you really believe inside of yourself. If there's these shadows and an uncertain sound inside of you and you don't receive the blessing from heaven, how much more in the body of Christ?
Hallelujah.
Now, if we're all thinking different things, questioning different things, and we don't go the scriptural way to address those things, our friends, it's very, very hard for the Lord to do what he wants to do. This is really a condition to do it. Now, that's how the prophet speaks of and shows the difference between mind reading and discernment. Now, I watched recently, I saw on YouTube this big guy in Britain who does mind reading. It's very powerful what the man can do. I'm sure he's in touch with his demon forces to do it. But the man can really read somebody's mind. There's no doubt about that. But he can never read what's in the subconscious.
Amen.
He can never. It's only what a person's thinking. That man can somehow in that realm pick it up and say, you were thinking about this. But the prophet, when discernment would come, he would bring out things people weren't even thinking. You see, that's the difference between the word. The word deals with the soul, goes right down to the heart, deals with the inner man. Whereas the devil, his realm is the mind. That's the realm that he wants to operate at. That's why there's such a big difference when the discerning of the word would come. Now, the prophet says in greatest battle, if this church right now could be put together and knitted together such that every person would be in one accord, not one shadow of doubt anywhere, there'd not be a feeble person in our midst in 5 minutes. And everybody here desiring the Holy Ghost would receive it. If you could just get that certain thing fixed. Friends,
amen.
That's not simple. That's not easy. But every child of God inside of your soul, you have the potential to be led of the Spirit.
Amen.
You have a potential to make the right decision.
Amen.
And if all of us at this time would take it individually, personally to ourselves, not worry about other people at this time, but to say, am I in one accord? Now, am I helping a one accord in this church?
Amen.
Or is my mind somewhere else? No, do I have allegiance somewhere else? Or is my allegiance really here? No, do I really believe this is where God wants me to be? Am I really seeking from my heart God's blessing here? And you would focus on that, and then the Lord would come and show. But you've got an uncertain sound towards that sister. Go and make that right. And then you would just be obedient to the Spirit. And you'd go and sit down and sort that out. And then the Lord would reveal something else. And maybe you've got a question that's always been bothering you. And then you'd be honest to ask the question. You know, and we'd get rid of this shadow of doubt.
Amen.
Our friends would see far greater things,
amen.
Surely.
Amen.
Because that's the only thing that holds it back. Because the double-minded man can receive nothing of the Lord. So the problem comes in when there's disharmony between the conscience and the subconscious. Always a reason for that. There's got to be a reason. There's a cause and effect. Listen what he says, an expectation. He says, when those little shackles and dark shadows get broken away, then the Holy Spirit can come right in and move miracles.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing impossible. But just that little doubt sitting there.
Amen.
Just a little doubt. It's like it's a shadow. It's a darkness. It's a something inside of there that you're just not comfortable with. We have to deal with it.
Amen.
You've got to deal with it as an individual. We need to deal with it as a church. We have to. There's no other way. The Lord had to deal with Gideon concerning this.
Amen.
He had to deal with Gideon. What was Gideon thinking? The Lord's forsaken us. Was that true?
No.
The Lord had to deal with that. That was an uncertain sound in Gideon. Who am I to do this? Yeah. Who is my father's house? The Lord had to deal with that once again. Because the man had the potential in the soul. But there was a shadow. There were these doubts and these thoughts and an uncertainty inside of himself. And it took the angel of the Lord to come down and speak personally to him. and start dealing with him down in that realm. And then the man started to realize, but hey, I don't have to believe these things anymore. Why have I been thinking like that for so long? How have I allowed this to govern my life for so long? But it really needs grace, friends. And that's what the prayer lines really, really showed us. The prophet says people come up here to the platform lots of times, say, oh, Brother Bram, I got all faith. Now, they believe that insincerity, like in the visions and so forth. But by God's gift, it's possible then to find out where the flaw is. God reveals it many times. Now you say, I've got faith. The first thing, you have to have a base for faith. That's God's word. Now a man goes to school, he learns theology, he reads it, he says, God said so, yes, I believe that. He believes it in his mind. But he's got a subconscious also. And that subconscious disagrees with this. Now why would your subconscious disagree with it? There's got to be some reason.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Why? It's like a woman, yeah? When she gets her age, marriageable age, it's natural for a woman to want to be married. To submit herself under her husband, to have her home. But if you find that girl maybe was abused, yeah? Or maybe she had a relationship with her father, and her father was cruel and hard.
Yes, sir.
Or maybe she's been through different experiences with men that have left an imprint in the subconscious. When it comes time, even if there's a real child of God, brother, that God has ordained for her to marry, comes to her. He is the fulfillment of the promise to her.
Yes.
God's mind towards her because of a history of something. Because there's been battle in the field of battle before and it's left some scars and some wounds back then. You're going to find that it's not going to be easy. She might be able to say the right things from her mouth to that brother, but from her heart, there's something holding back.
Amen.
From her heart, there's an uncertain sound.
Amen.
From her heart, there's an uncertainty thinking, is he going to be the same as my father? Is he going to be the same as my uncle? Or whatever that it was, or the different things that a person's gone through. And it needs grace to come and deal with that. Because you might see the effect in the life of a person, and you say to them, like the prophet says, that person said, get next to yourself. What's wrong with you? Can't you see this is a real child of God? Can't you see this is God's grace to you? But it's so real to that person. There's something inside of them there. There's a cry inside of the subconscious because of what that person's been through. That's why there's always a cause and effect. That's why religion did nothing for the woman at the well. You know, she had all these relationships with men, yeah? And she had been to the synagogue and all these different things never changed. And the prophet says, maybe she was put out on the street by her parents when she was young.
Yes, sir.
But she knew deep down inside all the time that was wrong. Yeah? And now she tries to get into a relationship with men. She marries a certain man. Now, because there's something inside of her subconscious, the vibration, the frequency that's operating inside of it, she might have married a genuine guy. And he wants to be one with his wife. But she's got some wounds, some scars. There's something from the battle down inside of here. She might have pushed it aside, suppressed it. It's gone down in the subconscious. But everything that's inside of your subconscious affects your personality. It affects your perception of things. It affects the way you look at things. You won't look at things. That woman has been abused. She doesn't look at men the same way as someone who hasn't been abused.
Amen.
I remember hearing one brother say that. He says that some sister came and sat with him in the office. And that brother had been preaching about Jesus. And she came and said, look, you know, I've been through so much abuse at the hands of men that when you speak about Jesus being so loving and a loving husband, I can't grasp that concept. Because she's looking at it through this filter now. There's these shadows. There's the something inside of herself. And until she deals with those things first, until the grace of God comes to set her free in her subconscious, deep down inside, oh, friends, you will never be able to have the relationship that you're supposed to have. And it's the same in our relationship with the Lord. And that's why one of the reasons we have these problems is false doctrine. No, we've been taught wrong. And that false doctrine, sometimes instilled by fear, sometimes instilled, we've been under systems before. Oh, friends, it goes deep down inside. And the prophet says that little corn of wheat, when it starts to grow, then the stick falls on it. It starts growing crooked. Even if you take the stick off, it's not going to be straight away. So even when a person comes out of a system of false doctrine, or sat under false teaching before, that is still in the subconscious. And it's going to influence still the way you see things. You see it. I used to laugh about Brother Tony. That one time when I said to him, Brother Tony, please pass me the oil. And he said, hey, no, bro. I can't touch anything holy like that. You know? Then I said, brother, there's nothing holy about it. You could take this oil and put it on your salad. There'd be nothing wrong. It's just olive oil. But it's because you come from a background of Catholicism. You see, that false teaching of Catholicism where you esteem, hey, that's holy. Don't touch that piece of bread. That's the body of Jesus and all those kind of things. And you come out and you come into the truth. But in your subconscious, there's still the shadow there. There's still that influence there. There's still the man in the engine room and he's still not 100% certain about what the man's saying up there. Because he's had an influence from somewhere else. He's been receiving all these different orders before. Hallelujah. Now you receive the truth, you give him the order. It's really automatic that the man's going to line up and say, okay, you know, let me forget about all the orders I had before. Let me just listen to this. That's not the way that it works. No, that's not the way that it works. And that's one of the reasons why deep down inside in the subconscious, sometimes a promise will come and we have fear. You might have grown up under a ministry. We were under a ministry. And I really think of it many times where if you were prayed for and you didn't immediately get healed, it's like the pastor would look down on you. He'd even preach things from the pulpit. Where's your faith? Yeah? You say you are son of God, you can't be healed. Now, you don't realize, just as much as if you take your little child in their formative years, yeah, and you are hard and you're unjust to your children, they're going to take it into adolescence. They're going to take those that influence, those shadows and those scars from their subconscious now. And when it comes time now when they've got children, if they're not careful, what's in their subconscious, they're going to start treating their children the same way they were treated. Because they don't know any different way. And even if teaching comes and the word comes to try to help them on that, it's going to need a process of grace. It's going to need light to shine inside of there. There's going to need to be some oil and some wine that's ministered there. Because friends, what's inside of that subconscious? You don't just turn it off and turn it on. Amen. What's been accumulated inside of there over time? When that thing's been tuned slowly, slowly, slowly to the wrong frequency, and it's operating on the wrong frequency, then you come at the frequency of the word of deliverance, it's not going to be in harmony. Amen. It's like when Moses came to the children of Israel. And he was so anointed. He came straight from the burning bush. He came with a message of deliverance. Amen. That the God of your fathers has heard your prayer. The season has come. God has had respect unto your cries. But he went to the people and it says, but because of their bondage, because of their anguish of spirit, they received not what Moses said. Oh, that's where the danger comes in. Because the devil's been there first. You know, and so if we're looking at promises that you wonder, but why am I not able to grasp this promise? Why is it that my ship just can't seem to get out of this particular harbor? You know, why can't I get enough steam in the engine room? Why is the engineer down there not generating enough steam to move me out of this situation to where I'm supposed to be? There's a reason, friends. Amen. There's a reason. But sometimes we just get down on ourselves and we get down on one another and we'll just straight away question somebody's faith. Yes. And we'll say to them, how can anyone have enough faith? You sit under such a message like this and you don't have enough faith. That's not how Jesus did it with the woman at the well. Amen. Jesus went and contacted her spirit and went and found out where the problem was.
Amen.
And then he revealed himself to her.
Yes, sir.
And that set her free.
Amen.
That set
Amen.
Her free. But it was that personal dealing, that personal revelation
Amen.
Of Jesus navigating all through all of this wilderness that was in her mind. All of the shadows and the darkness in her subconscious. And Jesus got right down to her soul. And finally said, go and call your husband. That was the problem, was her relationships with men. That was the whole thing. But yet inside of her soul, she was expecting the coming of the Messiah. She believed more than the theologians did.
Amen.
But between her soul and her conscience, yeah, there was other things operating.
Yeah.
Now, there was another frequency and Jesus had to get right to it. Something struck, the light struck her, and then things lined up.
Amen.
And she said, we know when the Messiah comes, he will tell us these things. And then came the revelation, I am he that speaks to you. And she was never the same. Never the same. But sometimes it's not an easy thing. The prophet says, you will say, I've got faith, and you believe it in your mind. But you got a subconscious also. And that subconscious disagrees with this. Because when he starts to do it, he's a little bit scared it won't happen. And it won't. The moment we're standing in that promise and there's an uneasiness inside of us that we're thinking, hey, I want that, but it's not going to happen. Why are you thinking like that?
Amen.
There's a reason, surely.
Yeah, that's right.
Something's caused you to think like that.
Amen.
In other things, you don't think like that concerning the kingdom of God. Maybe you receive promises in other areas of life. Maybe you see God's blessing in your home, God's blessing in your finances, God's blessing in whatever God has called you to do, in music, whatever that it is. But there's just that one aspect inside of your life, and you can't seem to grasp what you need to grasp.
Amen.
There's something in the subconscious, friends.
Amen.
There's something down in the engine room there. There's something, and it needs God's grace.
Amen.
It needs His grace. Listen to what the prophet says. He says in God's preparation, he says, there's the reason that people don't get the healing and the blessings that they sometimes so reverently ask for.
Yes, sir. Amen.
My. It's not a hypocrite, but sometimes it's somebody reverently asking for it. But there's something in the subconscious there. There's a shadow there. And the prophet says, that's the reason why you don't get sometimes what you're so reverently asking for. He said, if I'd asked perhaps 99 out of 100 here tonight, do you believe Jesus Christ can heal you? Yes. Without a shadow of doubt, they believe it. Well then, Jesus said, if you believe it, you shall receive it. That's just conscious believing.
Amen.
Now you've got a subconscious that's got to act too. Our friends, it's getting the right frequency in the subconscious. That's the key. So we need to find out what is causing the subconscious to operate at the wrong frequency. What has brought my subconscious to operate at this frequency? And you deal with that.
Amen.
And he deals with you.
Amen.
He walks with you.
Amen.
Like them on the way to Emmaus. They were operating on the wrong frequency. They were sincere. They were believers. They'd sacrificed everything for Jesus. And then they were walking and they were sad, yet Jesus had resurrected. And inside of themselves, it says they were reasoning with one another.
Amen.
See, we thought this was the Messiah. Hey, if he was the Messiah, how could he hang on the cross there and die? How could the Romans take him and whip him and lash him and beat him? Put nails through his hands and feet, hang him naked before the people, and die crying out the way that he did. We thought this was the Messiah. And something more I don't understand. The woman have come from the sepulchre saying his body is not there anymore. And they say they saw a vision of angels. And they were sad, the Bible said. And then what happened? The Logos drew near.
Amen.
The Logos drew near. And he understood. He knew why they were in that condition, walking away from Jerusalem. He knew exactly what they'd been through to put them in that situation. And then he started now to walk with them. And he started to fellowship with them. And he started to open up the scriptures. And he opened up their understanding. And then they started to realize that ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then they constrained him and said, we feel some hope here. We feel there's a possibility here. Please, come on home. We want to continue fellowshipping with us over dinner with you, please. And he came and then he broke the bread to them. And he was known unto them in the breaking of the bread. And then he disappeared and then something changed. He had ministered them to the right frequency. Amen. Now they were on the right frequency and they went running back to Jerusalem saying, we've seen him, he's alive. You were speaking of it before, but we couldn't understand, we couldn't accept. But now something's happened inside of us. We've heard, but now we see. But he's got to do that work, friends. He's got to do that work. But what we need to do many times is allow him to do that work. Now, don't just get down on yourself. The devil wants to give us a complex. That's the realm that he dwells in. A complex when you really start feeling sorry for yourself about something. Now, complex is something, and in the end, you don't even want to speak to people about it anymore. Because it's too uncomfortable to speak about. And what causes a complex, what makes it worse is, a complex is something that is so painful to you. But others don't see it like that.
Amen.
You find most people don't enter into your pain. You've got anguish. You're troubled in your life. You're seeking God. You don't understand why you're going through what you're going through. And you go and you speak to somebody. You bring it up with some saints. Ah, they're not even able to enter into that frequency where you are. And then after a while, you get up courage again. You're with some other believers. Maybe you're traveling in the car somewhere. You say, this is such a burden. I just want to fellowship with this with somebody. And you bring it up again. And, or just have faith. You know? Or what's wrong with you? How long have you been a believer? You know, things like that. And what you end up doing then, you end up being quiet.
Amen.
You end up keeping it to yourself. Saying, but hey, what's wrong with me? Why am I so different than these other people? Others don't seem to go through the same things that I'm going through. Which is a lie of the devil.
Amen.
It's a lie. Yes. Every one of us, friends, we have battles in the battleground going on now. In your subconscious, you've got your battles, you've got your fears. I've got my battles, I've got my fears. Amen. And the sooner we're honest about it, the better.
Amen.
And then when I can find my, David can find his Jonathan now.
Amen.
Oh, friends, how wonderful that it is.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, David can speak of his fears and say, but you know, hey, the Lord anointed me when I was out there and there was a lion and a bear and then happened to Goliath. And now I don't know what's gone wrong in my experience with God. Because now the pastor is throwing spears at me. And he's speaking to the deacons and they come into my house in the night and all these kind of things. And David's feeling inside of himself, but hey, nobody understands. Now here comes Jonathan. And Jonathan can enter into the same fellowship with David. Here's someone like-minded. Paul says, I have no one like-minded like Timothy because everybody else just thinks of their own things. But Paul and Timothy, it actually means like-souled. One soul in two bodies. They had the same frequency they were operating on. Ah, friends, and when you find somebody who can come down to your frequency, and you can start to fellowship with them and then they can start to help in the process. And the grace of God comes in and starts to tune you in slowly. You start raising up to the frequency of deliverance once again.
Amen.
The frequency of understanding. The frequency of revelation. But friends, it's a battle sometimes. Because the devil has been doing this for a long time. He's been operating in this realm for a long time. He says in God's preparation, there's the reason. He says, like a man crossing the sea. He gives the example again. When you go into the ship, the man who guides it sits up in the pilot house. And the man that rarely runs the ship goes down into the bowels of the ship. He's the engineer. No matter how much this guy says it up here, this is the guy that does the work. That's your subconscious. This is your first conscience. No matter how much he does the guiding, it won't do a bit of good until you get some steam down here or some pressure pulling it. Our friends, as we said on Friday, his dunamis, yeah? His divine power needs a channel to come down to strike the engine room. Because you don't build up the steam yourself. The steam is divine revelation. The steam is his anointing. The steam is his spirit. The steam is his divine power. That's where the steam comes from. But sometimes there's a blockage between up there and the engine room. And you can't get that dynamic power that you need. So the man down here in the engine room, he's not strong enough. He's not doing his job properly. You know, whatever. So he's not putting enough coal. He's not generating enough steam. And the man up here saying, I believe we can leave this harbor. We can leave this harbor. And the man down there saying, but Amy, I'm tired. Yeah, I've been through too much in my life. You don't ask me to put another shovel of coal, please. I've been through this a lot of times before. Please don't make me do this again. Whatever's happening down there. And this ship stays in the harbor.
Yes, sir.
And what makes it worse, you will see other ships leaving the harbor.
Amen.
And you'll know sometimes the prophets, and you'll even have lived a more righteous life than them. And they're leaving the harbor, and you're not leaving the harbor. Oh, it's hard sometimes, friends. But that's the realm that the prophet's speaking about. You've got to build up the pressure, the steam. He says, now, what if he sends an order down 2 knots to the left? This man turns 2 knots to the right. Won't do any good. You're going around and around in the harbor. You'll never get out. Our friends, some of us have been going around and around in a specific harbor. And we need grace. We need a one accord. We need a certain frequency that we can all tune in at to help those people to tune in as well. Because it's a body. If one member suffers, the other members suffer. That's how it works in the body. It says, no matter how much. It says, no, that's the conscious and the subconscious. This fellow here, he believes all right, but this won't cooperate with him. Now, there's a reason it don't cooperate. It's got to be. You say, yes, I believe. The next night, right back in the prayer line again. It goes to show there's a little fear down here. You say, yes, I believe it, but really, is it for me? That's the subconscious saying that. Now, again, I bring it back to the point before we get on to the next section. Why is the subconscious saying that? Why does your subconscious say that? There's a reason that it says it. There's a cause and effect. There's an effect. Let's find the cause. There's got to be a cause. Why is it that your subconscious is not kicking in? Like I said, sometimes it's a complex. Sometimes it's things that you've been through in your past. Sometimes it's false doctrine. That woman who they said, we read the quote again on Friday about being a witch. Ah, friends, that was tough. It was a lie. It's what believers had done to her. That put her down in that valley that she couldn't get steam in the engine room. And then when the truth came and said, you're not a witch. There's nothing wrong with your heart. Those people are lying. The ship went out of the harbor. Straight away, when she understood the truth, and this truth struck her. Now, let's have a look at one of these things. The first one's an obvious one. If I were to ask you, why do you think sometimes the subconscious doesn't kick in? Why? Why is the subconscious operating at the wrong frequency? The first one is unconfessed sin. Surely that's the first one that you've got to look at. The prophet says, did you ever hear of the subconscious? You start to do anything and you think, oh, I'm just riding over the top of it. But your subconscious tells you different. They can take a lie detector. And he speaks about that. The lie detector will turn right back and say you're lying. Why? It's the vibration of your nerves that they pick up on the lie detector. Why? Because man was not made to lie in his original beginning. It's sin and the devil that's on you that makes you lie. So when you find, in this particular instance of sin, these people we're going to speak about, When you find that frequency is wrong, yeah, it's because there's sin and the devil.
Yes, sir.
Inside of that realm of the subconscious, there's a dark shadow, and it's the devil. Because you fellowshipped with the devil and you never made it right. And he has a legal right and authority to stay right there because you're operating on the same frequency as him. That's the first one. The prophet speaks of the Sunday school teacher. I'll bring it to you how he explains it. Years before, during the war, yeah? And she couldn't even leave town. She was so nervous. And he says, and do you now believe? 1953. Then I went ahead talking to her. Here it came again. The vision broke. I saw her with a blonde-headed man. She was riding fast in the car. An automobile was going. A train just barely missed them. She started screaming. I could hear her, but I was still in the vision. And she fainted and fell on the floor. There was the vision. She got married just before the war. Her husband went overseas. When he went overseas, she started getting lonesome. And she started having company with a blonde-headed boy. One night out, being out, she broke her marriage vow. Lived untrue to her husband. On the road, in the train, almost struck them and killed them. When my wife heard her scream, she came into the room. We got her up and she began to scream. Oh, Brother Branham, don't you tell that to nobody. Don't you tell that to nobody. I said, there you are, sister, unconfessed sin. She said, but I had. She had all different people come and anoint her with oil to pray for her. Stomp devils, kick devils and everything else. But he stayed right there. Why? Because as long as there was unconfessed sin, the subconscious could never rise to the right frequency. It could never. And no matter how much you could reason that I'm a Sunday school teacher, I do all these things for the Lord. But down there in the engine room, he wasn't doing very well. He wasn't doing very well. And I said, he will stay right there as long as you've got that unconfessed.
Amen.
She said, Brother Branham, I confess that to God. I said, it wasn't God you sinned against, it was your husband.
Yes,
you've got to make that right. She said, I don't even think of that. The prophet says, no. But your subconscious is thinking of that all the time.
Yes.
Oh my. Her subconscious was thinking of it all the time. Because man wasn't made to lie.
Yes.
Man wasn't made to be unfaithful to their marriage vows.
Amen.
And the moment you do it, there comes an uncertain sound.
Amen.
There comes a certain frequency operating. Though you'll suppress it, try to forget it. It's in the subconscious.
Amen.
And now you'll claim the promises in your conscious, but that frequency is different than this frequency.
Amen.
And a double-minded man receives nothing of the Lord.
Amen.
And you will try your best to get out of that harbor. You will try like she had for years. And she stayed right in that harbor. She couldn't move from there. He says, no, but your subconscious is thinking of it all the time. And I said, no psychiatrist could pull that out of you. You know there's nobody in the world knows that but you and that man alone. But I said, God's Holy Spirit has revealed to you. That was God's grace.
Amen.
God's grace came and showed her why in her subconscious she was the way that she was.
Amen.
And surely he's the same yesterday and forever. Surely he can reveal to you and he can reveal to me why we are the way that we are.
Amen.
There's a reason why there's a cause and an effect.
Amen.
Why is it we can't get that frequency? There's got to be a reason. There's got to be. God's Holy Spirit has revealed you and told you there were trouble. Now, you go make that right with your husband and you'll get right well. She said, I can't do it, Brother Branham. I said, of course. That's all I can do, sister. I did what God told me to do. There's your trouble. They can anoint you with oil every 5 minutes through the day. For the rest of your life, it'll never do you any good.
Yes.
They might lay their hands on you, stomp and kick devils and say, get out of here, Satan. But you don't have to holler at him. He knows what faith
yes.
is.
Yes.
Amen. Friends, the moment the frequency hits a certain point, he's gone. Because
yes.
He knows what faith is. You don't need to be prayed for. You don't need to shout. The prophet never shouted in those prayer lines.
Right.
He just spoke. Sometimes so softly, he just spoke. Said, Satan, leave her. Because there was a frequency operating in his subconscious.
Amen.
And the devil now, just as much as God, doesn't so much worry about these thoughts. But what resonates in heaven is what's being said down here.
Amen.
The devil as well doesn't mind about this and about this. But it's what's in here that gets the respect of the devil.
Amen.
He knows what's inside of there.
Amen.
That's why he made his camp right in the subconscious of this woman. Because he knew she doesn't have faith. She doesn't have the right frequency. She's never going to get it as long as I'm here. He says he will stay right there. And he's got a right to stay there. He knows what his rights is. What he can do and what he can't. Friends, the devil knows. The devil knows. He knows that frequency operating down there. When Jesus came along, he knew the frequency. And he would start crying out the moment he saw Jesus. Because he knew his time had come. Now, imagine in a home now, the prophet's going to speak about her husband. With this frequency in her subconscious, yeah? She's been unfaithful. She's got sin inside. You tell me she ever had oneness with her husband. Do you think she could ever have been really one with her husband? No. Because unity isn't unity of the mind.
Amen.
Unity is unity of the heart.
Amen.
Unity is when your frequency matches someone else's frequency.
Amen.
And now her husband, yeah? Maybe at first, yeah, he comes back from the war, although he had been unfaithful. You see? So he's operating at a certain frequency. She's got a certain frequency. Imagine the troubles in that home. Imagine the trouble in that home. There's always a cause. And I started to walk away and she started crying. See, and grace came again.
Amen.
And I looked back and standing by her side stood another man in a vision. I said, isn't your husband a kind of tall man? Yes. With black hair? Yes. He combs it over sideways, kind of wavy? Yes. He's a deacon in the church? Yes.
Wow.
He's got the same rottenness to confess to you.
Uh-huh.
Now, we don't know who started it, but these things always happen.
Yes.
If you find the husband's unfaithful and he doesn't make it thoroughly right, he brings that frequency
yes.
into his home.
Amen.
He brings it in. And then now when you find the wife goes and does the same thing, like David with his children, what he did,
Amen.
Sin comes and is visited on the family, it's because you are operating on that frequency.
Amen.
And you are the door to the household.
Yes,
that's
right.
So I wouldn't be surprised because the prophet says, the husband was unfaithful during the war when he was in England. So you wouldn't be surprised if it was the husband who did it first. Who knows?
Yes, sir.
God knows. But somehow that frequency came in.
Amen.
It was ministered into that home. And I said, when he landed in France, I told about a certain girl with him who was in the war. And I said, doesn't he work for the Chevrolet company? Yes, he does. I said, there's a lady in there that's black-headed working in the office. I said, he was in a green Chevrolet car. He was out in a lane at a certain place with that woman. She was wearing a pink dress no more than a day before yesterday. He's got the same thing to confess.
Amen.
Ooh. Friends, in any relationship, either you and the Lord, you and your family,
Amen.
Or us with one another.
Yes, sir.
The moment you allow something to come in to change that frequency, that relationship's on its downhill.
Yes.
From there,
yes,
no matter what we say, no matter how religious we try to be to each
yes,
other,
sir.
Once there's a shadow inside of there, our relationship's going downhill.
Amen.
Until we deal with the shadow.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We read it on Friday about Samson and Delilah. Delilah, she didn't say very many things worthy of quoting, but she said one thing that was absolutely true. She said to Samson, how can you say you love me
yes.
when your heart is not together
Amen.
With mine?
Amen.
She could feel it. Their relation was on the frequency of the flesh, of the human spirit, yeah?
Amen.
Chemistry and all those kind of things. But they had no oneness.
Amen.
Because the most important thing to that man, his Nazarite vow, he never told her. And what was happening within her veil, her plans and plots and her schemes she was making with the governors and all the people of the Philistines to pay, get money, to trap this man, she kept it hidden in her heart. And that's why she could feel this relationship's not a genuine something. It's just at a superficial level. This isn't oneness that we've got here, and it couldn't be oneness. And it shouldn't have been oneness. Because birds of a feather should flock together.
Amen.
And Samson should never, the greatest mistake that he did was he opened up that unseen realm to her.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, it wasn't for her.
Yes,
that secret in his heart should have been for somebody else that God had ordained for him to marry of the household of faith, of the household of Israel. And then he should have held nothing back.
Yes.
You know, and Delilah, she had these secrets inside of herself and she had come and said, "Oh, Samson, I'm so glad to see you. You know, bring the grapes, bring the grapes." She would feed him grapes and give him the wine and speak, "Oh, so nice to him." And what was in her heart? That's hypocrisy, friends.
Amen.
What she was portraying was completely different than what she actually believed about that man. Oh. And a relationship like that is doomed. It's doomed. Unless the grace of God gets in there and deals with that darkness that came in somewhere along the way. And you deal with that cause that changed the frequency at some stage. It's doomed. It can never prosper. Now listen how the prophet expressed it. She said, "Why? Not my husband, he's a deacon." As if that means anything. Hey, we've seen ministers, apostles. We've seen, who else have I not seen do iniquities? We all know those things. I said, "No wonder." Listen how the prophet says. That woman, her pastor's name was Brother Johnson. The prophet now gives the key. I said, "No wonder Brother Johnson can't get nowhere down there."
Amen. Amen.
I said, "Such as that in your church."
Wow.
The prophet says, "That's a whole lot's the matter with a lot of churches too."
Amen.
God will never bless over sin.
Amen.
Ooh, friends. That's why we're saying it to Brother Will on Friday. We were saying, you know, we start speaking about let's have a prayer line and all that kind of thing. Then we just hit a brick wall.
Amen.
Yeah, and just felt, but yay! And then you go and pray and say, "Lord, I don't understand this. I thought things were going to continue opening up down that line." And then you start seeing the Lord maybe say, "No, no, no.
Amen.
We need to go via Samaria
Amen.
First.
Amen.
We need to go via Samaria. We've got to get the frequency right, friends. It's not just the preaching of the word that does anything to the frequency. It's every single one of us taking our own personal responsibility for the well-being of the body of Christ. Every single one of us putting our sins under the blood, making right with those that we've got a shadow against. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. We're absolutely wasting our time. Otherwise, we're going to be Brother Johnson's church. You know, that the deacon's in adultery and his wife's in adultery and they come into church and people are stomping and kicking and pouring gallons of oil and the ship's not moving from the harbor. You've got to go back and find the cause. There's a reason and there's a cause back there. The prophet says God will never bless over sin. Go and get your husband. She said, "My husband would." And says, "All right, that's all that I know." Then finally she goes and gets her husband. He said, "Brother Branham." He came to Brother Branham. He said, "My wife called me and I got in the car. And she came confessing to me that a wrong that she had did. And then she accused me of the same thing." And I said, "Where have you been?"
Amen.
Her wife went to the wrong place, you see.
Hallelujah.
If it had stayed at Brother Johnson, she had Amen. Just stayed down. Things would have stayed the same. But for the wife to come and say to the husband, "You committed adultery on me as well when you were in France during the war."
Amen.
This is, where have you been? In the presence of the Logos,
yes.
Friends.
Amen.
In the presence of anointed truth. That's where she was.
Amen.
So she, the husband says, "It's the truth, Brother Ben." Said, "I don't know you. I've heard of you from Brother Johnson. but I never saw you. But I want to shake your hand and say, it's absolutely the truth. And I'm guilty. And I'm no good to be called the father of my children or the deacon in that church. And as soon as I can get Brother Johnson, I'm going to resign from my job. Oh, friends. That's a repentance. That's a repentance. When the word comes and tells you you're guilty. You spoke evil of your sister. You thought evil of your brother and you resisted. No, you should come and shake the hand and say, that's the truth. I'm guilty. I'm not worthy to be called your brother and a sister. Harboring malice, harboring unforgiveness, harboring all manner of things inside of myself. Oh, friends. It's the truth that sets you free. He says, I'll resign from my job as a deacon. Listen to what the prophet tells him. I said, don't do that. Just get right with God and continue with your job. Because he was a deacon before the sin came in. Get rid of the sin and let him be a deacon when the sin's gone out. Obviously, there's going to have to be a vote about it. But I'm sure people are going to see the genuineness of the man's repentance. And you can tell genuine repentance. They will tell everything. We speak everything. There's no more this shadowy secret between us and the devil. This shadow that we don't want that person to know. Hey, if only if he knew that I thought this, imagine what he would think about me. It doesn't matter what we think about you. It matters what he thinks about you. If you're wanting steam in your engine room, it's what he thinks about you that generates the steam in the engine room. Not what we think about you. There's no other way to get the ship out of the harbor. No other way. I said, just get right with God and continue with your job. No need of doing that. He said, oh, if God would forgive me. I said, sure, he'll forgive you.
Amen.
Go and confess to your wife. Ask her to forgive you. You forgive one another. I said, yes. I said, now, sit down to the woman. Now is the time. Now is the time.
Amen.
Then when I went down, I said, Heavenly Father, this demon has tormented this girl for all these years. But it has no legal right to hold her now. Because it's been done, found, and made right. Now come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. And she's perfectly normal and well from that time on. See, it goes slow, but we get the cause. So we go slow, but we get the cause. Let's go slow and get the cause, friends. If you find this shadow in your relationship with someone, like I keep saying, there's a cause. Something came in. Words were said. Something was said. Let's get it right. Let's get it right. Let's sit down and talk about it. Let's be honest one with another. For the sake of the kingdom, for the glory of God, for you, your family, your children, for your brothers and your sisters, that the kingdom of God may establish itself in a far greater way. There's no other way. You know, as we close, it's the same as with Achan.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Achan had sin that he buried.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
He buried the sin right in the camp of Israel.
Wow. Yes.
He was in the camp, but he buried it.
Wow.
And then the Logos came down.
Hallelujah.
The captain of the host of the Lord. Because what happened? The frequency changed in the camp.
Amen.
There was a change of frequency in the camp of Israel. The previous chapters, they go to Jericho, they're in the right frequency. March around the city. They blow at a certain frequency. Da! The walls. They possess the gates of the enemy. Yeah? Now, they come up against Ai. A small town. The men come and say, you don't have to send the whole army. Let's just send 2,000-3,000 men. It's not a big problem, this.
Hallelujah.
And then the children of Israel are smitten. And Joshua falls on his face and says, since when is it that we, the covenant sons of God, turn our back on the enemy?
Amen.
And the Lord comes to him and says, stop crying. Get up. There's sin in the camp.
Amen.
There's sin in the camp.
Yes.
And as long as there's sin in the camp, as long as you're operating at that frequency, the covenant frequency is not going to operate. But if you get rid of that sin in the camp and get the frequency right once again, the covenant frequency matches that frequency, all the promises of the covenant are yours. That's what it takes. And so what did they have to do to Achan? They took him to his tent. That you're going to dig it up from the past.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't matter how long it's been buried. Amen. God knows that it's there.
Amen. Amen.
And God has an issue with it.
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what excuse that man was going to.
Yes, sir.
There was sin in the camp.
Amen.
There was something that had been buried and they had to go and dig that thing up.
Amen.
And remove it from the camp of Israel.
Amen.
Yeah, it was hard. And there was discipline against Achan and his family for that particular type of sin. And then what happened? The prophet says they continued marching to the promised land without a band-aid, without a plaster, without a first aid tent. Yeah, why? Because of the power of the covenant. Ah, oh, friends, we're the children of the covenant, but we've got to get things working at a certain frequency. There's a certain level that we need to operate at. Can I have a few more minutes here?
Yes.
Let me take one more here before we finish.
Hallelujah.
So we're looking at unconfessed sin. What's another reason that can affect our subconscious that we don't operate at the right frequency? Is disobedience.
Amen.
Or getting out of God's will.
Yes.
Oh. Because the frequency only operates right when you're in the line of duty.
Hallelujah.
When you're where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
Imagine Abraham. When he comes into the promised land, it doesn't matter what enemies are there. Doesn't matter that there's tribes with weapons and no, there's strength and might all around him. He's in his position.
Amen.
Yeah? He's in the covenant land. He's a covenant son. God is going to fight his battles.
Amen.
And then there comes a problem now. There comes drought in the land. So Abraham thinks to himself, it's not easy. Let me go somewhere else. And the Lord comes to him and speaks to him and says, Abram, stay where you are.
Amen.
Don't go down to Egypt. I'll bless you. But it's too hard. Down he goes to Egypt. Now when the trial strikes him in Egypt, did he have any steam in the boiler room? Did he have any pressure down there with the engineer down there? Did he have any confidence that when Pharaoh wanted to take his wife now, he could stand his ground as a son of God? He didn't. Why? There was no harmony between here and here. Because he knew, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. I'm out of my place. I'm out of my position. I haven't obeyed the promise, the word of God. And in those kind of times now, we start to use human tactics. Yeah? We start now to move into the other realm to fight our battle. Tell him you're my sister. You see what we start to do. And we start getting all kinds of problems that come in until God's grace had to come in once again, take control of the situation and say, Abraham, what are you doing here? I never told you I'd bless you here. I told you I'll bless you there. And the moment he left and went back into the right position, the right place. That's why, friends, when trials come, never think of resigning your office. That's not God's way. I'm not going to be a deacon anymore. I'm not going to be a song leader anymore. I'm not going to be pastor anymore. Why? 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 It's part of the process that you've got to go through. Because the moment you step out of it, now your soul starts operating at another frequency. In your subconscious knows. Like when the prophet was out there, the guide, his subconscious was telling him, you lost. And he was telling himself, I'm not lost. And his subconscious was telling him, you sure are badly lost this time. You see the way that is. Your subconscious will be telling you. And you'll come to church, you'll sit in the back of the church and say, no, it's okay, I just want to be a brother. I just want to sit in church for a while. Friends, we hear it all the time. Because there's pressure on ministry. There's pressure on any spiritual office. And I think just 1 year. Let me just have 1 year just to sit and come and be a brother and sit with my family and so forth. Yeah. And inside of your soul, Listen to this one in the prayer line in Ministry Explained.
Hallelujah.
He says, I looked out. I saw that man. It was in a prayer line. And I noticed as I looked at him, I saw he was covered over. His face looked very red. And just above him, I saw a pulpit like this and a man preaching. And I looked down again and I said, so it was the same man. And I said, sir, you're a minister. He said, yes, sir. Then I began to see something unfold just right out in front of me. And I seen him. And I said, you're a minister. But about 4 years ago, God told you to do something that you did not do. You failed to do it. Since then, it's been nothing but trouble. And you're just from the hospital now with a bone graft in your leg. And he began to scream and cry, and God healed him there. Because there was a frequency operating inside of this man's subconscious that wasn't right. God told him to do something and he didn't do it. Oh, friends, that's a serious one to think about. God told him to do something. When the prophet was told in the vision, there's going to be a brown bear. You need to be with the three smaller guys. And the prophet made a choice and he went with Brother Bud. What happened? The frequency in the camp changed. And the storm came down. And the prophet said, I'm the Jonah in the camp. And that's a perfect example, because Jonah, when he was in the midst of the storm, he had no faith himself to do anything about that storm. Because he knew the word had said, go to Nineveh, not to Tarshish. He knew, I'm not in the way of the Lord. I'm being disobedient to the heavenly vision. And friends, there's something strikes your subconscious straight away. And the prophet says, trouble set in straight away. It's a hard one. Listen to what he says in Greater Witness. We'll finish with this. Do you believe with all your heart, sir? I just want you to believe with all your heart. Now the Lord Jesus is present. His manifestation of his spirit to give life and forgiveness of sin. Then he said, there's something about sin in your life. You're a disobedient person. You're a preacher also. That's a serious combination. But he was a preacher and a disobedient person. And you've got some kind of eczema, a skin over your body that's bad. You fail to do what God told you to do. That's sin.
Amen.
But you're a minister of the gospel. And you've got a sick wife. She's got an asthmatic condition. It smothers. It's her heart. She's got a heart asthma. That's right. Do you ask God to forgive you for your disobedience? I want you to return to your wife, lay hands on her, and go back to preaching the gospel. That's where you disobeyed.
Amen.
Like Brother Ramsey, you take an offense and you stop doing what God has commissioned you to do.
Amen.
Our friends, it's rather you go through the trial while you can still have the right frequency inside of your subconscious,
amen,
rather than you go and seek for ease and pleasure, or this is too much pressure on me, and something strikes down the inside of the subconscious. Because once the frequency is not right in the subconscious, it doesn't only affect you.
Amen.
It affected everyone with Jonah in the boat.
Amen.
It affected everyone with the prophet in the camp. I'm sure it affected this man and his whole family.
Amen.
So you find things start going downhill from there. When the prophet never listened to the Lord to at Mishawaka to go to the Pentecostal people.
That's right.
Oh, friends, the frequency changed.
Amen.
And look at the things that started setting in. But he had grace enough to recognize it, to repent of it. And God came down to the angel and ministered him back on course. And the prophet used those
Amen.
Examples right to the end of the way.
Amen.
I'll finish with this quote here about double-mindedness. No, yeah, this one here. Let's try to find a shorter one. Yeah. You're a disobedient person and God told you to. He says, may this be the hour for him. He says, here not long ago, there was a woman come across the platform, very saintly looking woman. And she walked up to the platform. And I tried to rebuke it and it stayed with that woman. And while looking at her, I seen a young lady standing in front of me, about 14 years old. And she took the road that was wrong. I told the woman, you had a baby before you were married. And then she married a man and left him. Then she was in some religious cult, caused her to marry some other man. Friends, imagine what is happening in her subconscious. And then she left him because she didn't love him. I said, you're living with a husband now and you're having all kinds of trouble. And the woman fainted on the platform. And when she rose up from there, she screamed, God, have mercy on me. And when she did, God opened up her ear, gave her the baptism of the Holy Spirit standing right on the platform there.
Amen.
Oh, friends.
Amen.
As soon as the channel is clear.
Amen.
As soon as that frequency is set back in order.
Amen.
As soon as those things line up, see how the blessings come down once again.
Amen.
Oh, let's not have problems that we don't need to have.
Yes.
If you've got problems in your home,
yes,
there's a reason.
Amen.
There's a reason. When there's an effect, there's a cause.
Yes.
You can blame other people, but you have your responsibility.
Amen.
You go and seek the Lord yourself.
Yes.
You go and seek and say, Lord, what is it that I can do to bring a restoration into this situation once again? And there's very few things that are too far gone that God cannot redeem, that God cannot change. 4 days in the tomb, He can still change it. Even now, Lord, You can change this situation. You may think it's doomed, it's gone for too long. Just get the frequency right once again. Just let Him shine into experience once again. Just walk in obedience to what He tells you to do. And friends, sometimes that restoration comes so quickly. And may God do it, is my prayer. Let's stand, saints. Let's sing before we come to a time of prayer. You examine yourself as to what is happening in your engine room now. What is happening in your engine room? If there's not enough steam, if there's not enough pressure of faith building up there, why not humble yourself before the Lord before we go? Lay yourself on the altar and say, Lord, teach me, Lord. As you always say, search me, O Lord, and see whether there be any wayward something inside of me. Something I vowed that I never kept. Something that I did that I shouldn't have done. Something that I didn't do that I should have done. Something against somebody, some unforgiveness, because you'll never forgive me when I've got unforgiveness inside of my life. Something I never restored and made right that I should have made right. And may the Lord help us.
Trust in the way.
Let's sing, Show Me the Way.
Amen.
Please, Lord, show me the way. Said I am down. Show me, Lord. take me back, take me back, dear old river. First bid, right now, Lord, please take me back, take me back, take me back, take me back, dear Lord, to the place where
sense. There's certain things that's just between you and the Lord. Oh, friends, you can ask for prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. You can sit down for counsel. We should do those kind of things. But at certain times, you just need to go in your sacred sense and speak to the Lord and say, Jesus, this is between you and me. This is my inside life. This is the inner man. Lord, you know who I really am. Lord, you know what I'm going through. Lord, you know the problem and you know the solution. And I'm looking at you upon this day. Show me the way.
Amen.
Lead me, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And Father, if I've sinned against you, take me back.
Amen.
Take me back, Lord, to where I first believed. Back to the simplicity that I used to have.
Hallelujah.
Back to when I looked at brothers and sisters, I didn't look with an evil eye. I don't look with suspicion. I don't look in that kind of a way. But Lord, there was a simplicity inside of me. Lord, take me back. Let's sing this song, You Cannot Hide It From God. Let's sing it three times, the chorus. Then let's come to a time of prayer. Let's put ourselves upon the altar. Let's seek His grace at this time. In Jesus' name.
Oh, my brother, my sister, you cannot hide it from God. Oh, you can cover your sins so the world may not know. But you cannot hide it from God. You cannot.
grateful, Lord Father, in this lot that you allotted unto us upon this day. Father, we want to be, Lord God, sensitive at this time. Father, in the light of your presence at this time, in the light of such good word, Lord, Father, in the light of such word that, Lord Father, is ministry.
And sincere infantry amidst our lives, Lord. Lord, to search out, Lord. As Lord Father, you showed us, Lord, when the prophet showed, Lord Father, when those people would come into that presence, Lord, there be those things that they would have forgotten, Lord, to be gone. And we know that when you take your torch, that light, Lord, that Lord Savior, holy light, Lord, Lord, that Lord Savior, full of fire to shine deep even amidst, Lord, Lord, the forgotten conscience, Lord. Father, you would bring up, Lord Savior, Father, those things, Lord Savior. And when we, Lord Savior, would receive them like we have, we would say amen, Lord, and make straight of them, Lord Savior. You guide us now, Lord Savior God, and you light up, Lord Savior. Father, oh God, our conscience, Lord Savior. Father, once more, our heart, line it up, Lord, with that great North Star. Lord Father, oh Father, as we, Lord Savior, watch us, line up one with another, Lord Savior God. Give us your grace, give us your mercy, Lord, and let us ponder over, Father, so noble a word given upon this day that has been ministered, Lord, given upon it, Lord. Bless all, Father, that has been spoken. Bless it to your church, and bless us, Lord, to your service, Lord, in this last day.
Let's sing that one. We've got the power here. Yeah. Amen. Let's sing that song. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. Many times Satan tried to stop us. Is that not your testimony
Amen.
As well?
Amen.
But we've got the power in the name of Jesus. Let's sing the song. I asked Brother Max to come and pray for us if you would please, bro.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. All glory, Lord, to your name, O God. Father, this afternoon, you've spoken to your church. You've spoken to every heart here, Lord. Father, we might have come in today trying to hide, Lord Jesus, our conscience from you, O God. Trying to hide our counsel from you. Oh, trying to find deep places, O Lord, to keep our sins. But Lord Jesus, when we came in, you have, Lord Jesus, made it known. And Lord, we have seen we can never hide from you.
Hallelujah.
So Lord, what can we do? Father, we surrender.
Amen.
Lord, we need you now, God. That Father, the Holy Spirit, Lord, look through our minds and our subconscious, Lord. And Father, any hidden agenda against one another in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, help us, Lord. That we leave it, O God, in the bottomless pit now.
Amen.
Never to come back again, Lord. Father, even this moment as we stand before you, you know even our hearts. So, Lord Jesus, we want to say, help us, Lord. We want to live in harmony. We want to see, Lord, our mind and our subconscious, the frequencies moving together. That, Lord, we will be the church that you said you will present to yourself, God. A church without spots. Church without wrinkle.
Amen.
Church without blemish.
Thank you, Lord.
A holy church, Lord Jesus. That's all that, Lord, we are seeking this afternoon. That your word has, it has come, Lord. Father, we want to live by it. Because you have given us a kingdom that cannot be moved. And so, Lord, this grace we want to take, oh God, oh, to serve you, Lord, with all sincerity and with all truth.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, Amen. We need, Lord, the Holy Spirit to help us, oh God, in this journey. Father, forgive us where we have failed.
Yes, Lord.
And restore unto us, Lord, once again, oh, the love of God for one another. When I see my brother, I see Christ. When I see my sister, I see Christ, Lord. That, Father, we will live together, Lord, as one body. That as the hand cannot leave the leg alone behind, oh God, we move together in that unity. Looking back, Lord, what happened in the day of Pentecost, that they were in common union, O God. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus, we want the visitation upon this
Amen.
Church. That we move with one accord. Oh, helping one another, O God. Carrying one another upon our breastplates into the holiest of holies, into the presence of God. Carrying one another's burden, Lord. Praying for one another, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Let this sweep over us, O God. Oh, that's our prayer, Lord Jesus, this morning. Help us, Lord. We thank you for our pastor, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
For using him, O God, to search deep into our hearts, to bring all hidden agendas, Lord, out. Father, where can we take them again? Lord, we surrender all. Help him and his family, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Restore him, renew him. Anytime he stands before your children, O God, let the Holy Spirit come down, Lord Jesus. Take over him, O Lord. And as you know us, Lord, individually, Lord, Father, let your word always come searching out every secret that, Lord, is not according to your word. That it brings them out, expose that enemy. Lord Jesus, we will be set free, O God. We thank you once again. Bless every child here, Lord. Bless every youth, Lord. Bless every father. Bless every wife. And the Lord Jesus, once again we ask to move together in one unity. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Service Friday evening, let's prepare ourselves, let's come for communion service. I'm sure it will be a blessing. And then next Sunday is a baptism service. So if there's anybody else looking to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please let us know during the week. But you have a baptism service next Sunday. So we just ask the trustees if they'd be kind enough to arrange and get everything ready for that. But above all, let brotherly love continue. That's what the Bible says. Let's really seek His grace. Let's seek His mercy. Let's continue to worship as we dismiss in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a fellowship. What a joy divine.
and the same.